Hello, church. Good to be back in God's country. Good to be back at Drift Run in the hills of West Virginia. I like it down here. I'm from Northern Ohio. Don't hold that against me, but we own property down here in St. Mary's and love this part of the country, and we spend a good bit of time, and I'm ordained through the same organization that your pastor is, so that's how I met him. They had a conference here one time, and boy, they just rolled out the red carpet for all the people at the conference. And just having been here, I don't know how many times I've been here now, but I enjoy it, and I want to brag on you, and I don't want anything in return, but I'm going to tell you, your church is a friendly church. And I say that because I go to a lot of different churches, and they're not all so friendly, let me tell you. Some of them's downright cold to you, and you don't understand it, but that's how it is. But really, you guys have a good spirit, and you're warm, and you're welcoming, and praise God for that, okay? We thank God for that. All right, let's get into the Word of God today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse number 11. And how many of you besides me could use some encouragement once in a while? Man. Especially with what everything going on in the world. And mothers, you need encouragement. Your children need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And that's what this scripture is talking about here in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." And I want to read that also from the NIV because I like how it reads. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you're doing." So what we as Christians, how many of you know we need to build each other up and encourage one another, right? If you have Jesus Christ in you, you should want to encourage and build up others. Now, how many's ever heard there's a person called Debbie Downer? You ever heard of Debbie Downer? Maybe we got a few Debbie Downers or Joey Downers in the house today, but they are the type of people, when you're around them, you just get down. They bring you down. They don't bring you up, they bring you down. And we don't want to do that as Christians. We want to be encouragers, right? We want to encourage people in the Lord because we've got the best. We have the words of life. What are we not to have to be encouraged about? So it's always half full, church, when you're a Christian, even if you know we're not denying things come our way, but we need to be encouragers. And how many of you know people enjoy being around Christians that have that joy of the Lord and have that encouragement, not the down? You know, we could bellyache, every one of us could bellyache about something that's going on in our lives today, right? We all could. But I choose not to do that, all right? And it's not that I'm in denial or I don't share my feelings. I do, you know, but generally speaking, if I've got the Lord, I'm going to be an encourager to others. I want to look at you and encourage you. By the way, I want to say, appreciate all the testimonies today, the lesson in Sunday school, and the good singing, good spirit. I encourage you to keep it up, okay? Because that is just helping people. How many of you get lifted up when you hear that? You know, it just brings joy to your life. See, that's what it's all about. And again, there is some hard truths we've got to tell people. When I was at that mission, I told those men, we love you. You know, we do. Even though I don't know you that well, we love you. We support you. Our church supports that outreach. And that's a whole other topic, but it's a wonderful outreach. And if your church ever wants to take on another outreach for souls to be saved, it's a good work, okay? Just keep that in mind. But I said, we love you. And I said, we love you enough, though, to tell you the truth. And the truth is, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a place called the Lake of Fire. And if your name is not written in the Book of Life, you will be cast into the Lake of Fire. And they're all just like, whoa. But they appreciated the honesty because I said, I love you enough to tell you the truth and not just tickle your ears. And how many of you know we got to be doing that, right? Speak the truth in love. All right. So anyway, I want to talk to you about encouraging, and the message is be an encourager like Barnabas. And that's who I want to use today is Barnabas in the book of Acts. How many of you know there's a lot of good human beings that we can look to? You know, I could look to Dave. I mean, there's a lot of great qualities. I admire Dave as a pastor and things. But we all know ultimately Jesus Christ is the best example, right? But there are some good people to look at. So the scripture does point out Barnabas, and I want to just bring out some things about him tonight. He's a great example of being an encourager. He really is. And I want you to think about your own life and the times you were encouraged or discouraged. Now, let me give you an example of what not to do, and this is from my daddy. God bless him. You know, he taught me a lot, and I love him. But every once in a while, he would do this. You know, I'd be out as 12-year-old, 11-year-old, trying to help him and doing the best I could, and I just wasn't cutting it, you know, cutting it for him. And finally, he put that shovel in the ground, and he leaned on it, and he said, "Boy, I tell you, I just sometimes can't believe you came from my loins." And I mean, you talk about deflating you. I'm thinking I'm helping him, right? And he says that to me. And then later on, he says, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" I got an older brother, you know. And he says, "He can do anything. And whatever he puts his mind to, he can do." Because, in fact, you're never going to be like him. He'd tell me that stuff. And boy, I just walked away so deflated, you know, not encouraged in any way. But then I was in fourth grade, and Mrs. West, my fourth grade teacher, God bless her, she would, when I messed up like that, I go, "Man, here it comes." And you know what she'd do? She'd go, "Danny, that was a great effort." Great effort, okay. And I've got all the confidence in the world that you can do better. And boy, you talk about, I'm like, okay, you know, this is a whole nother ball game now. Instead of the other. And it was encouragement. It's all it was her being nice, because she could have been harsh, you know, but she was an encourager. And how many of you know those words can cut you? That's why the Bible talks about the tongue being so hard to rule and so forth. It can. So Barnabas' name, it's himself, means son of encouragement, and he's well named, okay? So I would encourage you, if you don't know the Lord, I encourage you to find him, because he is the answer. And you say, "What's the question?" It don't matter. He's the answer to every problem you ever have. And he is the one that loves you beyond anything. And I encourage all of you that are looking for ministry work, I encourage you, keep seeking God in that. You will find the answer. I encourage all of you to serve the Lord to the best of your capacity at where you're at this time. I encourage you to do that, because that is what we need to be doing down here. So Barnabas, you know, he was a generous man. How many of you know, in the book of Acts, we don't need to turn there yet, but in the fourth chapter, it talks about all the persecution they were having and how they had to band together, and, you know, this was a tough thing. And here it was, people like Barnabas actually sold land and brought the cash to the disciples to be used for this new community. Now, this was not a hippie commune, you know, like you think of, where it's just communism, everybody brings it, and it's equally. This was, if people had a need, they had the resources to help out, and we had generous helpers to be given. And that's really the way it's supposed to be, all right? Now, he was a generous man. How many of you know, if you have a financial need and somebody gives you money or helps you financially, that's pretty encouraging. See, it's easy to say with the lips, you know, "I'm behind you, I'm there 100%, you know, I encourage you." That's wonderful, okay? It's sort of like being married, fellas. You know, I'll pick on the guys. You know, you tell your wife you love her. That's good. You should say that. But how about taking her to dinner once in a while? How about buying her some flowers once in a while, right? How about doing something besides just the words? And it's the same in the body of Christ. We have to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And how many of you know love is a verb? It is action, right? We got to put, there was a wonderful lady that's went on to be with the Lord. She said, "You got to put legs on those prayers." And there's a lot of truth to that. Put some action behind an encouragement. Then there's lots of ways you all could encourage people different than maybe I could because of your situation and your resources. So I encourage you to continue being that encourager. Turn with me to Acts, the fourth chapter. Verses 36 and 37, and you can see what Joseph did. And Joseph, by the way, was Barnabas. His name was changed. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or encouragement, a Levite of the country or island of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So number one, an encourager is somebody that wants to help people, Christians. He wants to, if he has resources, if he has time, if he has energy, if he has input with words, it doesn't matter. He wants to encourage and lift up, or as our scripture said today, to encourage one another and build each other up. We need that. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, you know. But how many times does this happen in the church? When somebody's going through something, we tend to, you know, hey, did you see what's going on with Joey over there? You know, he's really going through it, and boy, he's got some issues. You know, that's not too encouraging. That's almost like borderline gossip, what that is. We need to get in there and put our arms around them and just maybe listen to them, or maybe just say, how can I help you today? Or is there anything I can do? You can just let them know, I'm here for you. If you need me, you call me. You know how encouraging that is to people sometimes? I had somebody recently go to the altar at one of the churches, and nobody prayed with them. And afterwards, they admitted that it was discouraging. They wanted somebody to pray with them, you know. And we don't think about that sometimes, you know. You see people come, and you figure they're just seeking the Lord. But sometimes they want you to come up and put your arm around them. Or, you know, some people don't want to be touched. Some do. But you know what I'm saying is help, minister. You know, let them know you're there for them. These are things that I think Christians should be doing, especially in the body of Christ. Because doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to love one another? And it also says you'll be known by that love. So that's why I was complimenting you. You know, I sense that here. You guys aren't perfect. None of us are. We know that. And you still got work to do, and so do I. But you guys are there, man. I'm telling you. You got a good spirit. You got a... I like the mix, too. You got young and old here. I like that. You got a good balance, and so thank God for Drift Run Church and what's going on here, and I pray that God will continue to bless here. I really do. So they renamed him, you know, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And that made me think, what if somebody was to take your name and say, we're going to give you a nickname, and it's going to be based on what you do? And nobody raised your hands here, but what would it be? What would your name be? You know, what is it that when people see you that they focus on? See, with Joseph here, he was an encourager. And you'll see this as we go through here. He was a great encourager. But what would yours be? What would mine be? It sure makes you think, doesn't it? Now, it revealed that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. How many has ever heard the old saying, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one? Amen? There's a lot of truth to that, because I can get up here, Brother Dave, others can get up and just say anything to you, and it can sound wonderful, okay? But what about following me the other 6 days and seeing how I am? Am I backing it up? Am I living it? You know, these are the things people want to see. Am I loving people? Am I helping people? Am I encouraging people? And I'm telling you, that's what people gravitate to. How many has ever heard the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they... know how much you care. Amen? You could be the greatest theologian. You could, man, tear that Bible up, but you're cold as ice. And people, let me tell you, that'll turn them right off. They want to know. That's why if you go to a third world country as a missionary, the first thing they do when they get there ain't preach the gospel. You know what it is? Come on, we're going to feed you. They get them bellies full. You know why? Because with a full belly and they see the love of Christ by giving that food to them, man, they're more apt to listen. And it's the same in your life. If you're trying to win that neighbor to the Lord or a family member or whatever, remember that, okay? It's not just hitting them over the head with the Bible like I did when I first got saved. That's how I did it. Everybody that came in contact with me was going to hear the word, and I just thumped them over the head with it. You know, it was like, come here, you need to hear this. And it was too much, you know? It was zeal without knowledge, as they say. And really, you got to have both, okay? And you got to be led by the Spirit of God mostly. I was getting ahead of the Spirit. The Spirit was back there, and I was charging ahead on my own, just whipping everybody over the head with the Bible. No, you got to be led by the Spirit of God. He'll say, at this time now, he'll tell me this, no, they're not ready, or it's not time. And I'm like, yes, sir. You know, that's how I do it now, and it's wonderful. Just like at that mission the other night, I came prepared with notes, which I usually do. He said, thank you very much. Don't need those tonight. I'm going to tell you what to say. And that's happened so many times, you wouldn't even believe it. And he wanted me to be faithful and be prepared and do my part. He wants you to do that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But there's times where he'll just say, now I want you to be obedient unto me, and I want you to have faith and step out in faith and listen to me. And that's how it's been my whole life, church. And I thank God for that. I really do. And I know it's that way for many of you. Now, he was also a bridge builder and a great defender of people. And one of the people Barnabas was a great defender to was the great apostle Paul, who was called Saul back then. And how many of you remember when Saul was converted, right? He was dramatic, you know, blinded by the light and knocked down. And, you know, and the Bible says he straightway preached Christ. He went right out and started preaching immediately and boldly. And this is amazing. You know, this guy was just killing Christians, and now he's preaching Jesus Christ. And it was amazing. And the Jews hated it. They were incensed because he was a traitor now. This guy that was doing their bidding, and now look, he's preaching Jesus Christ now. And so look at Acts 9:26. Right after he started preaching, they had to lower him over a wall in Damascus because they wanted to kill him, and he had to get out of there. He wanted to go down and meet the disciples. So in Acts 9:26, it says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." You can't blame them, right? The guy's just killing Christians last week, and now he's saying he's a Christian and he wants to join up with the apostles. And it's just like Ananias. Remember when he was blind and the Lord told Ananias, "Go lay your hands on that boy"? And he said, "Now, God, in all due respect, you know who this guy is, right?" He goes, "Yes, he's a servant of mine. He's going to go before kings, and he's going to be shown how much he has to endure for me and all these different things." And Ananias said, "Yes, sir." That'd be like this, church. When he tried to join them disciples and they didn't believe what's going on, it'd be like, you remember Osama bin Laden? He's dead now. But remember, let's say we go back before he was killed, and suddenly it's heard that Osama bin Laden became a Christian and he wanted to join Drift Run Church. Now be honest, how many of you would just open arms and embrace him and that's it? Or would you go, "Wait a minute here, we need to maybe just calm down and look at this situation"? See, that's how the apostles were. They're like, "That's Saul of Tarsus. Man, that guy's out killing Christians and he wants to be part of us now? I don't think so." But see, Barnabas knew Saul. He saw him preaching boldly. He believed in him, and he saw the real deal. See, he saw some things they didn't see in him, okay? And by the way, I just wanted to say something. The conversion of Saul shows God's great grace and mercy. Think about it. I mean, he's killing God's people. You think God would just wipe him off the face of the earth, send a bolt of lightning down and strike him dead, you know, for doing that? But it shows God's grace and his mercy. And I want to say this to you. Hear me. Never, ever, ever say someone is beyond help. Never say someone is too wicked. Never say they're too evil. Because the Bible says with God, all things are possible. And let me tell you, I don't care who it is, God can save them to the uttermost. How many of you believe it today? Amen. He saved us, didn't he? And some of us wasn't so lovely, right? Some of us could testify of them old days when you was out running with the devil, right? It's the truth. And I remember one time I was talking to the men at the mission up there, and I said, if Adolf Hitler on his deathbed asked the Lord into his heart, he's going to be in heaven. If Mussolini, and I went on and I said, and Jeffrey Dahmer, and this guy in the front row is loud so the whole church could, he says, I hope he ain't in heaven. He just didn't, you know, because of all the horrendous things that he had done. And you could see why he felt that way. But it's true. If Jeffrey Dahmer accepted Jesus, and they said he did, by the way, in prison. I believe he did. At least that's what they say. So, folks, you may see Jeffrey Dahmer in heaven. You know why? Because of God's great grace and his great mercy. And it's beyond human comprehension. See, if any of us were in charge, we may not do it that way. We were talking about that in Sunday school. Why does God do what he does, right? We might not do it that way. We don't understand that. But see, that's God. If you're willing to accept what Jesus Christ did on that cross, all right, and believe with all your heart, you can be saved. Everybody can be saved. What is John 3:16? You quoted it this morning, right? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever is everybody. Anybody. Jeffrey Dahmer's in there. Adolf Hitler's in there. Everybody. So Saul was that way, and now we see Barnabas is going to step up and defend him. Look at Acts 9 and 27. But Barnabas took Saul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And I just want to say something to you. Always, always, always stand up for what is right. Always stand up for an underdog or somebody that's being attacked falsely. Always do that. And I remember even in my life at certain times I've had, you know, church leaders at places that may have had a view of somebody in their congregation that, you know, was not a pleasant view, and they were just talking among themselves and I happened to be there. And I knew the person better than they did. I knew some things. And so I was just like Barnabas. I had a choice. Do I just be quiet or do I stand up for them? And I stood up for them and I said, fellas, I know how you feel, but let me tell you what I know, what I've seen. And it changed the course of their conversation about that person. And it's just like here. That's exactly what Barnabas did, okay? Let me say, if you see tensions between two people in the church, instead of standing off to the side and letting them butt heads, especially if you got information that can help that situation, always step up and try to intercede. Try to be a peacemaker. Try to be an encourager. I believe this with all my heart, church. We need to stand up for what is right. Because silence is bad sometimes. We have information that we're withholding, and so we could change a situation. That's exactly what Barnabas did here, man. He stood right up, and he encouraged the apostles to accept Saul, and guess what? They did. And you see, Barnabas is a bridge builder. Barnabas is an encourager. And see, this is a great thing. It really is. So I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you to look at your situations that you have and step up, as they say, to the plate and be an encourager. Think about your children. Don't be like my dad did in those few instances, okay? Encourage them. And by the way, if you're going to be an encourager, let me tell you right now, you better be full of the Holy Ghost, because part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And you got to have a ton of patience. All the mothers said, amen. A ton of patience, right? Because those kids will wear you down. They'll wear you out, and you're just like, how many times do I got to tell them, right? When are they ever going to learn, right? Patience, but you're always encouraging. And by the way, my mom encouraged me at times. She would step up and say, now don't, no matter what he said, you know, we love you. And she would just kind of smooth over the rough edges there, and it works somewhat, you know. And I thank God for her. I really do. And I miss her. She's in a nursing home. I miss being where she's with us all the time now. But anyway, in some time, guess what happened? They still wanted to kill Saul, even though he was brought up to them disciples and Barnabas stood up. He was a hot potato, and they had to get him off to Tarsus, where he was from, just to get him out of the way for a while, because things was hot. People was trying to kill him, and that's what happened. Then a while later, there was a great stirring of God up north of Jerusalem. Turn with me to Acts 11 and 22 through 24. There was great numbers of Jewish people getting saved up in Antioch. There was great numbers of Gentiles getting saved up in Antioch. Let's read about this in Acts 11, 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted or encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the church. Notice, of all the people, I mean, all the disciples, everybody that they could have sent up to Antioch, who did they pick? They picked the son of encouragement. Why? Because there's a lot of new converts up there. They need a person like Barnabas who could work with them, that was patient, that was encouraging. Not, you know, we've all seen it, okay? How many of you know when we're dealing with new converts, you have somebody that's been in the church 40 years, they've been saved 50, you know, 40, 50 years, and here comes a new convert in that don't look like them, don't act like them, don't talk like them, does some weird stuff, right? And they're looking down their self-righteous nose as if to say, I thought you were a Christian, you know, or you're not acting like a Christian, you know, and all these types of things. Folks, that's why Barnabas was sent, instead of somebody that would think like that. It was to encourage. You know, remember, you got Jews and Gentiles with all their differences up there. You need somebody that can step in and be that personality that he had, okay? And that's exactly why he was chosen. Here was his credentials. He was a good man, all right? Good man. We need some good men, good women, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, all right? This is a well-equipped person. And Brother Dave, I know you have these decisions when you put people into positions. You got to look at them. You got to say, you know, can they do the job? Are they qualified? I mean, we hope we do, right? We don't, you know, in some churches, here's how they pick Sunday school teachers, okay? Are you breathing? Are you available? Pretty simple, right? Because we need somebody to get in there with those heathens, right? Come on, deal with them. And unfortunately, that's not how we want to do it. We want people that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are good people, full of faith. You know, do you remember in the Bible when there was the widows that were being neglected and the disciples said, it's not reason that we should quit preaching and deal with that. You pick out 7 people that can handle this, all right? And so they did. And here was their qualifications. Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. You see a pattern here? And by the way, today, the Holy Ghost is almost like a third wheel. Nobody wants to talk about the Holy Ghost, you know? The Bible's full of speak about the Holy Ghost. All right? We don't want to deny, how many of you believe in the Trinity? Right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? So, it's not a bad word. It don't mean you're holy rollers because you talk about the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, needs to be involved, okay, in somebody's life. And if you don't even believe in much of the Holy Spirit, you know, he's just like, we don't hardly ever talk about him. He's just off to the side. But Jesus and God, you know, that's, no, it's all. And they were full of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and empower you to do what you have to do. I would never want to get up here ever in my life without the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the leading of the Holy Spirit, without God in my life. Because, folks, especially with the devil, how many of you know we have power and authority over the enemy? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But, and I've had this, I'll tell you a quick story with that mission up there. I was up with another fella, and I'm telling you, there was a demon-possessed person at the front row. How do I know? The Lord showed me. He was foaming at the mouth. He was speaking in these weird languages. He was clawing. I mean, he was possessed. So here I am, a teacher, a preacher. I know I'm supposed to have authority, so what am I supposed to do, right? I wanted to run home is what I wanted to do because this was awful. But what we did was we just said, well, we know the Bible, and they did it back then. I went up, put my hands on him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I prayed every prayer I knew. I prayed everything I could think of. Come out of him in the name of Jesus. Man, I felt good because I was laying it on him. And guess what happened? Nothing. He got worse. And I'm like, whoa. So now roll them sleeves up more and double down. And we was in a battle. And we prayed as hard as we ever did. And I'm telling you, it was just like in the Bible when they said that suddenly there was peace and he was clothed in his right mind. I saw it. I'm telling you, that man was totally different. It wasn't an act. This was not an act. This wasn't just something he was faking us out or putting on a display. That man, I believe with all my heart, was possessed. And we saw the power of God one time. It only happened to me once that way. But I saw it because it was me right there. And I mean, he was like, what's going on? What are you guys doing here? You know, and he really didn't understand because he was possessed at that time. So we prayed with him, we counseled him, we gave him scriptures. I mean, it was wonderful, okay? But see, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. So anybody that wants to get a deeper walk with God, the Bible tells us all the time to be full of the Spirit of God, okay? And there's lots of ways to do that, all right? Don't be afraid to be full of the Spirit of God, okay? Don't be afraid to open your life up and say, Holy Spirit, come in and flood me. Because how many of you know if you're full of the Spirit of God, there ain't no room for you, there ain't no room for the flesh, there ain't no room for the devil. Amen? We're full up. No room here. No vacancy, right? So get full of the Spirit of God. Get full of the Word of God, and you will be an effective witness in this world, folks. You really will. All right? So encourage people. Always encourage new converts especially, okay? Because they need a lot of encouraging. They really do. Okay, so here is Barnabas up in Antioch. He's doing a great work. And all of a sudden, how many of you know this thing is not for one person? Brother Dave, we love you, but you'll be the first to admit you're not a one-man show here, right? You've got a whole staff. You've got workers. You've got the congregation. We're a body, right? He's the local shepherd, but we have all a role to play, and no matter what your role is, in God's eyes, Brother Dave, anybody is no more important. You're as important, right? The toe is as important as the brain, as they say. And if you don't believe it, just stub that toe once, because everything shuts down, and it's all about the toe, right? It's all about the toe, trust me. Now, you know, in Acts 11 and 25, take a look at that. He says, I know there's a boy named Saul. He's a good preacher. I'm going to go get him. I need help. And he knew that that man was real. So in Acts 11, 25, it says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And let me tell you, that was a 100-mile journey to go get that boy. If you think about 100 miles today, we take our cars, you know, and that ain't nothing. But these guys were walking or on camels, horses, this type of stuff. And by the way, 10 years had went by from the time that he had to flee Jerusalem and go to Tarsus. What was he doing in 10 years? No doubt he was busy for the Lord. And by the way, 3 years of that was in Arabia, where God was rearranging his theology. Because he was a Jew, you know, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and you know, he was out there getting that revelation. He got revelations that he couldn't even share with people. It was so great. And this is part of what was going on, but he was kind of off of the action. He was kind of out of sight a little bit from what we've come to learn of the great apostle Paul. So here's Barnabas that gets there and encourages him and says, come with me to Antioch. There's a great work going on. See? Now ask yourself, where would the great apostle be if Barnabas hadn't been the encourager and believing in him? Think about that. There's always somebody. You know, when someone's famous or up there big, you know, like Billy Graham's of the world and so forth, you back it all the way back and you'll find somebody that was an encourager in their life to keep them going. Trust me on this. Everybody has somebody that was encouraging them in some way like that, okay? So he brings them back, and for a year they're up there preaching and teaching in Antioch. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall there and hear that preaching and teaching for a year? I mean, these are fantastic men of God. They really are, okay? But just think about this. Barnabas, who sought out Saul, invested his time in him and his energy and all of these things, we know that that Saul would later become Paul, and he would do 4 missionary journeys. He would write half the New Testament, all right? He start numerous churches. He speak before kings and before rulers. And here's Barnabas, who never wrote a gospel, but he encouraged the one that wrote half of the New Testament. Think about it. This is why I wanted to focus on Barnabas. The Lord showed me this, okay? We have to understand that Barnabas loved God, but it wasn't about him. In fact, there's one story where they were worshiping Barnabas and Saul as gods, and they said Barnabas was Zeus, and Paul was Hermann or something like that. And but in that role, you know, Zeus is the biggest god there is, I think. So they say it's because he might have been a very big man. He was a very imposing man. And, of course, they stopped him dead in their tracks and said, no, we're just people. Don't worship us. You know, this is wrong. But I want you to see Barnabas wasn't, his thing was not the limelight. He didn't have to be top billing, okay? His role was to be the encourager. And he did that well his whole life. And you'll see this, and I won't drag this out, okay? But there was a time when after they went back after their first missionary journey, which, by the way, they took a man called John Mark, which was a cousin to Barnabas, okay? Because the Holy Spirit, look at Acts 13 and 2. I want to emphasize my point about the Holy Spirit. Acts 13 and 2. Look who's talking here. The Holy Ghost said. Did you see that? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. That's why the Holy Spirit's so important. That's why we've got to listen to the voice of God. Okay? So he called them to their first missionary journey. And again, why is Barnabas chosen? It's a reflection on his character. He's willing to submit totally to God, okay? They would make a great team. And they took John Mark with them, Barnabas' nephew. And we know the story, how that once they got down through there a good bit, John Mark leaves. The Bible doesn't tell us why he left. Some surmise that it got too tough. And by the way, we always think of these missionaries as, you know, big caravans and tents and servants and all this. No. Many times they were destitute. Many times they had no place to sleep. They were hungry. They were even naked. They were imprisoned often. And so it's thought that maybe John Mark couldn't cut the mustard. But others say he got homesick. You know, he just, you know, this is not for me. Whatever, we don't know, okay? But he left. And it didn't sit well with Paul, as you'll see later, okay? And so this is what happens when, you know, it's just life. Things happen. But one of the things I wanted to bring out was the encouragement that they continued in the faith, it wasn't sugar-coated. When Barnabas encouraged these people to stay in the faith, he didn't sugarcoat it. All right? He told them, you know, that they're going to go through much tribulation. And how many of you know that's what you need to tell people when they get saved? Is it's not always a bed of roses. You know, you will suffer persecution. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that. Jesus said that. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Okay? How many of you believe that? Now, the scripture, Paul also said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How many of you know that if you or I are on a coast, if we're in a bubble, and we're just going through this life nice and easy, and no one ever says anything bad about us, we never suffer any persecution, we're just coasting right through this thing, man. This is nice, right? No problem whatsoever. You better come to the altar and check your life. I'm telling you, because people like that, and I hope if it's you, just take this encouragement. If it's anybody, really, if we're not putting ourselves out there, because remember, it says, yea, all that will live godly. If you're living godly, that means you're telling people about Christ. That means you're saying no to sin. That means you're standing up to the world and the devil. In other words, you're putting yourself out there, and guess what happens when you do that? People talk about you. People will come against you. People will say wicked things about you. You know, you won't be in the clique all the time, right? Because the Bible says to come out from among them and be ye separate. And when you do that, you will suffer persecution. So folks, all I'm asking you to do or encouraging you is look at your walk, check your walk, see where you're at with the Lord. How much of yourself are you really putting out there, all right? All right, so anyway, just to wrap up, John Mark, the Holy Spirit, okay, called them. They asked John Mark to join them, but a little bit later on, after their missionary journey was over, it was a period of time, Paul says, let's go back and encourage all those churches. Let's go back to all them people. And Barnabas says, I want to take John Mark with me, all right? And boy, that didn't sit well with Paul, okay? He said, no, I don't want to bring John Mark. He's not reliable, you know? He wants, and you can see both sides here. We're talking about Barnabas. Barnabas is the encourager. Barnabas' view is, hey, let's give him another chance. Aren't you glad for second chances? Barnabas' heart was to give the boy a second chance. And, you know, we got to remember this about this dispute. It got so bad, they split up. And I like that's in the Bible. You know why? Because it shows me they're human. You mean everybody isn't perfectly in harmony and there's never any issues, you know? Wrong. All through the Bible. How many of you remember when Paul withstood Peter to his face because he was being a hypocrite? See, that's tension. That's not being in total unity all the time. In other words, I don't know about you, but I mess up. Am I the only one? I still mess up, church. And that's a nice way of saying I still sin. Okay? Because I'm not proud of that. I'm not up here bragging about it. I'm just letting you know God's still working on me. I got areas, I got shortcomings, and I have to ask forgiveness all the time in my life. All right? But God knows that. He knows I'm dust. Yet he still called his servant, okay? And that's what I want you to know about this. So John Mark, by not being chosen, that was not a doctrinal issue, okay? It was a personality conflict. It was a personality issue. And the Bible shows us that. And you brought up David this morning. David was a man after God's own heart, but what did he do? Had a man killed so he could be with his wife. And that's in the Bible. They didn't hide that. Because you and I need to see that God can still love you, he can forgive you, and when you mess up, you do better. You repent, you do better next time, okay? And by the way, and we'll just end with this, later on in Paul's life, he came to rely on John Mark. He considered him a good servant of the Lord, and in fact, he called for him to bring books and things. He was well known that way. And Barnabas, him and Saul were fine. Because later on, you see where Saul asked the church to give a good, generous donation to help Barnabas. All right? So, last thing is, there's a gospel called Mark. Guess who wrote that? John Mark. And the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right? The Holy Ghost gave the word of God to John Mark, that boy that had to go home. So we see Barnabas encouraged him. What if Barnabas would have just said, yeah, you're weak, get out of here, we don't want you. That could have maybe deflated him. You never know. So think about Barnabas and the encouraging part. By the way, I support what Saul said too, because there's times where you've got to have that. You know, if everybody was always grace and mercy and kindness, we'd never have anybody excommunicated from a church. Did you know that? Think about it. And by the way, that's in the scriptures. There's times where you've got to have that kind of judgment. But there's also the grace and the mercy. It's a balance, folks. It's a balance. And Barnabas, I just love his heart, okay? And I prayed over this, that God help me to be more like Barnabas, to be an encourager, to see the best in people, okay? You know, it's like the glass being half full or half empty. I can look at every one of you, and I could listen to the things I've heard about you and think negative about you, but I also know there's good about you, and other people would share that. So I'm going to dwell on that part. I'm going to dwell and encourage you on those areas instead of condemn you. Even Jesus didn't come to condemn, the scripture says. He came to save, because we're already under condemnation. He didn't need to condemn us. We're already under condemnation. Okay, so having said that, last thing, and encourage all of us, every single one of us, look for ways that you can invest time in people, prayer, invest resources that you have, invest energy that you have, and invest just help into people. How many of you know this is about people? I'll tell you a funny story, and then I promise I'll end. There was a pastor one time that confided in me, and he said, you know, people wear you out, and he goes, in fact, I don't even like people. It's a pastor. I won't tell you where, what state, or anything, but I mean, I was like floored. I'm thinking, it's all about people, you know? And he don't like people. I guess he's being very honest, but I think you have to have a love for people to be a pastor. I really do. You know, come on. Anyway, it's one of those things that we just, you know, it's about people. How many's ever heard the saying about a shepherd in the natural? A shepherd should smell like sheep. In the spiritual, our spiritual shepherd, sorry, they're all pointing at you, our spiritual shepherd should smell like the people because he's right there amongst them. He's in amongst them. He's dealing. He's not hiding and say, if you need me, call me, right? No offense to anybody that says that, but I think we can go a little further than that sometimes. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, so be an encourager. All right, let's all pray. I want to just say a prayer over you. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. We thank you for the words of life. You said your words are spirit and they are life. And we feel, we can sense the Holy Spirit just mixing everything that we've heard today and burning it into our spirits. I pray for this church. I thank you that they are that way in many ways. But we know we can always do better. So, Lord, we just pray that each person in the sound of my voice would just receive this word and begin to determine in their spirit that they will begin to be more of encouragers and helpers and just people of second chance and just looking at the Barnabas that we learned about. And, of course, you, Lord, because you were always merciful and compassionate. Help us to be that church, that city on a hill, that when people see us, they see Jesus, they see the love of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.